So the event that the pastime in Pandharpur illustrates how in living reality this actually occurred. Because in Pandharpur was one very gentle Brahmin who was a disciple of Lakshmipati Tirtha and would host him at his house whenever he came to Pandharpur. So Lord Nityananda, he came to that Brahmin's house, and the Brahmin was just so happy to have Nitai staying in his house, but he told the Brahmin, don't tell anybody I'm here. And in the secret place, the Brahmin would bring him prasadam, or bhoga. Thereafter, Lakshmipati Tirtha with his disciples arrived in Pandharpur. Lakshmipati Tirtha, who was just like a loving father towards his disciples, who had such love for him, and such a gentle, devoted soul. When he came to the Brahmin's house, the Brahmin was so happy, but Lakshmipati Tirtha said, I've come to your home many times, but I've not sensed such an ecstasy as I do now. What is different in your house this time? But Nitai told him, don't tell anybody. So he couldn't say anything. It's because you're here. But there's something different. I feel an auspiciousness never experienced before. And I'm sure that there's some kind of ananda residing in your house. But he was told not to say anything. So that night, Lakshmipati Tirtha, as was usual for him, was singing bhajans to Lord Balaram. And his songs would just enchant the heart of anyone. And he was crying. He was an elderly sadhu at this time. And he was crying very bitterly and lamenting very deeply. Oh, my dear Lord Balaram, please bestow your mercy upon me. And Balaram appeared to him. He was up all night just lamenting and rolling on the ground. Balaram, please bestow your mercy. Well, I can't live. But toward the end of the night, Lord Nityananda lured him into a slumber, a kind of yoga nidra. And in that dreamlike state, Lord Balaram appeared to him. And Lord Balaram told him, hearing your lamentation, my heart was breaking. So I've come to tell you that Krishna is the master of my life and you are his servant. And how can I serve you? And Lakshmipati Tirtha, feeling so happy in the association of his Ishtadeva Lord Balaram, asked for one benediction. May I never see any difference between you and Krishna. And this prayer echoes throughout the biographies of the Panchatattva. Because, as we'll later hear, Lord Nityananda and Advaita were especially fond of fighting in the mood of little children. But if anyone ever sides with one Vaishnava and derides another, he's finished. Even if he tries to purify himself by bathing the Ganges will run away. So, this applies amongst the avatars. I mean, we were discussing yesterday how in Prabodhananda Saraswati's ecstasy, he seems to be minimizing the different avatars. But what he's really doing is emphasizing Lord Gauranga. And he's actually glorifying all the avatars by putting them in context as servants of Lord Gauranga. But if anyone ever uses his glorification of one Vaishnav to deride another, he's finished. Lord Nityananda is very favorable even to drunkards and womanizers, but to those who blaspheme, which, you know, this theme continues resounding and echoing throughout all the biographies. So anyway, Balaram told Lakshmipati Tirtha that there's a beautiful ascetic who's going to come to you in the morning and beg you for initiation. So you initiate him with this mantra. And Balaram spoke the mantra into the ear of Lakshmipati Tirtha, which just made him filled with joy. And that's how, well, that's the beginning of how, the mood of the shelter of Radha and Krishna being our ultimate goal did come through the mercy of Lord Nityananda, who came to Lakshmipati Tirtha early in the morning, just when he woke up from his dream, just filled with joy. Nityananda came out of the other room, as if he had just arrived in town, and begged him for initiation, realizing that as the fulfillment of his dream. He initiated Lord Nityananda with a mantra that he had been initiated with the previous hour by Lord Balaram, and thus the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, became infused with the bliss and realization of the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna, which has as a prerequisite the mercy of Lord Gauranga. So then Nitai, as soon as he received initiation, he left, leaving Lakshmipati Tirtha in deeper lamentation and separation than he'd been before. And he was lamenting more bitterly and feelingly than before. And then hearing him, Lord Nityananda returned and appeared to him as Balaram. And he fell at the feet of Lord Balaram, praying, "Please grant me the shelter of your lotus feet, the eternal shelter of your lotus feet." And when he looked up from paying his obeisances, Lord Balaram had become, again, Lord Nityananda. So then he continued on his pilgrimage until he returned to Braj for the second time. And he was always in the mood of a young boy. So he was playing with the visible and invisible cowherd boys of Braj, just playing on the sand on the bank of the Jamuna. He wouldn't eat unless somebody gave him something. He's like a little child. And he was thinking, "My Lord Gauranga is enacting his pastimes of triumphs of learning now in Navadvip. And when he calls me, I will go." But meanwhile, in the separation from his eternal brother, he was keeping himself immersed in the pastimes of Krishna, which is the only solace for devotees in this world. He would not distribute love of God until Lord Chaitanya ordered. So, waiting for Lord Chaitanya. And then, when Mahaprabhu concluded that part of his 100 pastimes and took initiation himself from Ishwarapuri and began bestowing love of God and joining the devotees in Harinam Sankirtan, that was his call. And Lord Nityananda proceeded to Navadvip. Meanwhile, in Navadvip, Lord Gauranga came to the house of Srivas Thakur and told the devotees that a very special personality will be arriving here soon. "I saw him in my dream. He pulled up on a golden chariot. It was not an ordinary chariot. This chariot is the means to go from the essentials to the non-essentials to the eternal. It was adorned with a flag on which there was a palm tree. And the passenger in that chariot was a colossal figure. And he was swaying back and forth. He was so beautiful. He had large lotus eyes reaching almost to his ears. And over his shoulder he held a plow. And in his other hand he had the water pot of a sannyasi. And he appeared to be intoxicated. His head was just rolling back and forth and his eyes were rolling. And he kept asking over and over 10 or 20 times, 'Is this the house of Nimai Pandit?' And he had a blue dhoti and a blue chadar And I feel as if he's somehow non-different from me. And then Lord Gauranga started calling out in a very demanding, "Bring me wine, bring me wine." And the devotees looked at other, "What did he say? Bring me wine, bring me wine. What? Bring me wine." And then the devotees concluded there must be some reason for this. And he was swaying back and forth like Sankarshan, putting all the planetary systems in a very precarious position as if they might fall off. And then Lord Gauranga, somebody gave him some Ganges water, and that pacified him. And then he sent out the devotees, especially Haridas and Srivas. "That person's come. I feel he's come. Go find him." So they spent the whole day searching. They first went to the Vaishnavas, then the Brahmins, then the Kshatriyas, and the Vaishyas, and the Shudras, and the outcasts. They looked everywhere. The whole day, roaming through Navadvip. They couldn't find the personality Lord Gauranga was talking about in his dream. They came back. "We can't find him." And Lord Gauranga smiled. "Because we cannot find him by our approach, by our search. If we think the Absolute is the object of our investigation, then we take a superior position, thinking the Absolute will reveal itself to us according to our empiric quest. We have to take the subordinate position and invoke the Absolute to reveal himself to us." So Lord Chaitanya confirmed, "Yes, you cannot find him, but I can reveal him." So he led the devotees in ecstatic Harinam Sankirtan to the house of Nandanacharya, where, my favorite hiding place, because it's Vrindavan within Navadvipa. They like to hide in the groves, and Nandanacharya was very happy. And then when Mahaprabhu came leading the devotees, and they saw through the door in Nandanacharya's house in effulgence, like millions upon millions of suns coming from this luminous personality of Nitai. And Nitai looked and he saw his beloved Gaur. And then he just became stunned. He could not move. Lord Chaitanya offered his obeisances, and Lord Dintananda was just stunned in ecstasy. He could not move. Lord Chaitanya told Srivas, "Sing that song." And he began singing about the pastimes of Vrindavan. And then Lord Nityananda, tears began flowing from his eyes, and then he jumped up in the air and came down so hard that the earth just began to quake and tilt. And then he began dancing and running around and bowing down and offering his obeisances and laughing and running and screaming in ecstasy. And the devotees, they were fearful. He's going to hurt himself. He kept falling down and rolling on the ground and jumping up and crashing down. The earth was tilting and swaying. And then the devotees were trying to grab him and hold him. He was so restless, they thought he's going to become harmed. And then Lord Chaitanya calmly embraced him and took him in his lap. And Lord Nityananda became very mellow and peaceful. And Gadadhar Pandit began smiling. He was thinking, normally, the Lord resides in the lap of Shesh. Now it's reversed. Shesh is sitting in the lap of the Lord. And he was calm and quiet. He surrendered his life. And it was just like previously when Lakshman was held in the lap of Ram when he was struck almost dead at the battle for Lanka. So then Lord Chaitanya began offering incessant prayers to Lord Nityananda, at the conclusion of which they began exchanging friendly conversation in gestures and movements and glances that no one could understand. The only thing they could understand is Lord Gauranga asked him, "From where have you come?" He said, I've come from all the holy places of pilgrimage, but everywhere I went, I could not find Krishna. To my vision, all the altars were empty and vacant. And then finally, in Vrindavan, I asked some fine devotees, "Where is Krishna? Where has he gone?" And he said, "He's gone to Gauradesh, Navadvipa, where even the most sinful can attain Krishna bhakti. So when I heard that, being the most fallen myself, I have come. So that happened to be the day before Vyasa Puja. So he said, this is very auspicious. Tomorrow is Vyasa Puja. So he told Srivas, are you ready to perform? Yes, I have everything except the book. I'll borrow that. And we will have Vyasa Puja at my house. And then Lord Gauranga told him, alluding to the new partner, you have a very heavy responsibility on your shoulders. He knew there was going to be a very ecstatic Vyasa Puja. So that night, Lord Dintanatha was so restless, he broke his danda and his water pot, and Srivas got upset, and he went to tell Lord Gauranga, and on the way he saw that Nitai was chasing a crocodile in the Ganges. And he was so, he just wanted to play. He was always in the mood of a little boy. And when you see crocodiles, he had to go play with them, and he'd jump in and, no. And nobody could reason with him. And then at the Vyasa Puja ceremony itself was even worse. Srivas was the head priest, and he gave Nitai the garland, put the garland on Vyasadeva. Yes, yes, yes. He just stood there, blank, looking off into space. Put the garland on Vyasadeva, and then all auspicious. Yes, yes, yes. Put the garland on Vyasadeva, by whose blessings we can have access to the scriptures. Yes, yes, yes. He just kept looking off into space. What to do? He told Lord Gauranga, your Sripad will not garland Vyasadeva. So Lord Gauranga went before him and said, put the garland on Vyasadeva. And he put the garland on Lord Gauranga. And then Lord Gauranga, having that garland, began swaying back and forth. And once again, because he was totally immersed in the mood of Baladeva, they were immersed in love for one another. Lord Gauranga began swaying back and forth. And again, he said, bring me wine, bring me wine. And then a plow and a club spontaneously manifest on his shoulders. And then Lord Gauranga revealed his six-armed form before the devotees, seeing which Lord Nityananda fell unconscious. And when he fell unconscious, Lord Gauranga called him back. He said, Lord Nityananda, why did you faint? Please arise and listen to the kirtan of the holy names which you have come to inaugurate. So the call of Lord Gauranga brought him back from his samadhi. And they spent the rest of the day immersed in the mellows of Braj as they lost themselves in Harinam Sankirtan. So, at that point, Lord Nityananda kind of adopted Srivas and Malini as his parents. And remember, he's always in the mood of this little cowherd boy. And seeing this little cowherd boy, Malini, who was a very elderly lady, milk would, way, way too old for this, but milk would just flow from her breasts out of affection. And Lord Nityananda, he would sit on her lap, even though he was 32 years old at this time, and quite large, he would sit on her lap. He wouldn't eat anything unless she personally fed him. And Mother Sachi, seeing Nitai, was thinking, my Vishwarup has come back. Which is actually true, because Vishwarup left this world in Pandharpur. He ascended in Pandharpur. And in Pandharpur, Nitai absorbed the personification, the personality of Vishwarup. So Mother Sachi was saying, my son is back. And she would sometimes see him, and he would speak just like in the voice, in the words of Vishwarup to her. So then it was not long before Lord Gauranga began sending the devotees out to preach, especially Haridas and Nityananda. He ordered them, go preach door to door to everyone. You beg them, Bolo Krishna, Bhaja Krishna, Laha Krishna Nam, Krishna Koda Krishna, Siksha Krishna Pranadan. Just worship Gauranga. No. He said, just tell them, worship Krishna. Chant the holy name of Krishna. Surrender to Krishna. Krishna's our mother, father, life and soul, everything to us. Don't listen to anything else. Don't discuss anything else. So as sadhus, they went out begging, and the good people were happy to offer them alms, but they didn't take anything to eat. He just said, just, this is all we ask. Just follow this instruction. And in the course of their, you know, the good people were so happy. They wanted to give him alms. And this is all we ask. Just chant the name of Krishna. Although Nitai was chanting the name of Gauranga. And the envious people, they would harass them. But they would just laugh. They were just like little boys, just playing. And so happy if anyone would take the holy name of Krishna. And some people did. And then in the course of their wanderings, they saw a huge fiasco transpiring in the streets. What is going on? And the people told them, that's the infamous Jagai and Madai who were fighting with one another brutally in the middle of the street. Sometimes they would be the best friends. The next minute they'd be pulling each other's hair and punching each other, and they were completely drunk and just using horrible foul language. And people were standing far, far away. And Nitya, what is wrong with them? Who are they? He said, they were born of very fine Brahmin parents here in Navadvip Dham. But somehow they've just become the worst demons. And ontologically speaking, the six births which Jai and Vijay had to fulfill as Ravana, Kumbhakarna, Shishupal, Dantavakra, and who else? Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. The archetypal universal personifications of Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Matsarya, each individually, those six demons, all those six demoniac propensities in full were personified by Jagai. This is their untold fourth birth, by which they would attain love of God and go back to Vaikuntha, back to Goloka. But they didn't, you know, Haridas and Nityananda didn't know this. And what is wrong with these people? He said, they become so degraded. There is no sin, no imaginable sin they have not committed. And Lord Nityananda, hearing this, his heart just became filled with compassion. And he was thinking, if these drunkards could only become intoxicated with Krishna Nam, if Lord Gauranga would save them, then the world would understand his glory. And then I'll be properly acknowledged as his humble servant. So they went, and just like everyone else, when Jagai and Madai were fighting with one another in a completely drunken state in the middle of the street, and the people, don't go near them. They kill Brahmins just for sport. And they just laughed. They're just like little boys. And they went up and told Jagai and Madai, Bolo Krishna, Bhaja Krishna, Krishna, Kodra Siksha, Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Panadan. And this is not something you would tell a demon of this magnitude. They couldn't believe it. They looked up and saw these two sadhus, their eyes became wild with rage and red, and they jumped up, get up. And Nitya looked at Haridas, we better get out of here. And they took off running. And Jagai and Madai, they want to kill them, running right behind, just like arm legs behind. And they're running for their lives. Now, Haridas at this time was an elderly Vaishnava. He said, I don't think I can run away. So Nitai, well, just take my hand. And they were running together like little children. Well, Haridas, what's he like, you know, 70 years old or something at this time? And they're like running. And while they're running, they're joking with one another. Haridas said, Look what kind of trouble you got us into. All these good people you had, you chose them and we're going to lose our lives. Oh, come on. You've been through this before with all those yavanas trying to beat you to death. Yeah, but Krishna was protecting me because that was his arrangement. This is your foolishness. It's not my fault. It's your Lord Gauranga. He's the one. He's acting like a sannyasi. He's acting like a king telling us to go. It's his fault. Don't blame me. So like joking with one another. Like little children while they're running right behind him. The worst terror. Kill them, get them. And then they came to Srivatsa's house. They ran in Srivatsa's house. Jagannath Mahadev were so drunk they didn't even know. They kept running down, catch them, and they were gone. They came into Srivatsa's house, and Lord Gauranga was sitting there, effulgent, surrounded by his devotees, and he told them, come every day and report how successful was your preaching. And they came, and he told them, what happened? Mahaprabhu. Who are these people? And the devotees explained, the same thing that people were told. They're born from an illustrious Brahmin family, but they become so degraded.